Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. We're in chapter 28 here. We're going to pick it up with verse 31 in a moment. Remember back in 27, God, He brought forth 12 curses. And they were kind of secret things that people try to do in secret. You don't want to do them or you'll be cursed. God is totally, completely fair. He always forewarns us. In the Word, this letter that He's written to you, whereby you know better than to do something, or you're going to be cursed. And then, in this 28th chapter, He gave us six blessings and six cursings. And, again, He's being totally fair. You know, a wise person always would rather have the blessings instead of the cursings. So, that's why He makes it so plain, so that you know which side to go on. Now, He has told us, hey, in these six, you're going to be messed up your grocery basket at the store. You're not going to walk out of there with half what you might have originally. They're going to rip you off. Inflation's coming. If you don't do it my way, and basically it all hinged on verse 12 of this same chapter 28, where He said, don't borrow money from another nation. When America began borrowing money from other nations, instead of trusting God who gives us a land of plenty, we're in a heap of hurt. That's a cursing. And here we've done it big time. That is to say, our government has done it big time. So, again, our Father always lovingly warning before the fact of what to do and what not to do. The choice is yours. It's your life. You make the decision, you go with it. So, having said that, then a word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name. Let's pick it up, chapter 28, verse 31, as He continues telling you, hey, they're going to take everything you got if you don't do it this way. And He looks forward even to the time of the coming of Antichrist, as we'll get there in this lecture. Verse 31, chapter 28, the great book of Deuteronomy, Moses repeating the law in layman's terms where anyone can understand it. Let's go with it. 31 reads, thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. When you get your nation so far in debt that you have to bring in taxation, usury, and other such controls, when you give up your freedom and let your so-called government take over all things, you lose them. You're a loser, number one, big time. It all starts with borrowing money from another nation rather than depending on God for His blessings. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. You know what brings this to pass? Is when you get Bible thumping preachers that absolutely are ignorant of God's Word. I'm not judging them, I'm just stating a fact. And they mislead your children till they don't know up from down. And they're taught, where you should get a clue is when some church tells you, you don't have to understand Revelation, you're going to be gone. When the very word Revelation, in whichever language you want, Greek, Hebrew, whatever, it means to unveil or to make known. God wanted you to understand. That's why He sent you the letter in the first place. And when you would let some yo-yo tell you you don't need to understand God's Word, you're in a heap of hurt. And when your children go off in other religions and you lose them, they won't listen to you. You alone for them. Sorry. That's the way it works. It's spiritual robbery in a sense. So you want to keep your children well founded in God's Word, the letter He sent to us. Be careful of any man, this man or any other man. Check them out in God's Word. It'll either be true or it'll be false. Verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. You know, if we continue, our interest rate will be totally out of reach, whereby we're robbing even our great-grandchildren through usury. Back to verse 12 again. We borrowed money from another nation, not just a little bit, a heap, almost surmountable. Verse 34. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. In other words, it'll make you angry every time you think about it, or hurt when you see it coming to pass. What God's telling you, it's going to happen if you let it. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore blotch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. You know, we have this immune deficiency that is unhealable. You're not going to heal it. When you mess with uncleanliness, it comes upon you and your immune system can't cut it. That has come to pass, and people die by the droves. Verse 36, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. It's a one world system that's coming upon us, trying to melt everything down and kiss up to every nation on the earth. You know, Christians have always been blessed when they serve the Lord God Almighty. That's the very trouble with communism and socialism. They leave God out of the equation. And when you lock arms and hands with people like that, you're going to lose God's blessings. God controls a lot more than people like to think. That's why you always want to choose his blessings, not his cursings. Verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. You lose your spiritual character. When our nation was a beautiful thing, the very founding of it. We left a nation whereby we were not allowed to worship as we so chose. Came here in our very constitution made up from the very word of God. Everybody was happy to say, we ask this in our Father's name, and we thank you, Jesus. And now it's almost a disgrace to some, and a proverb, if you even pray in the name of Jesus. A lot of people get offended. So what? I'm going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it offends somebody, they can shove off. It does not bother me one iota that the Lord Jesus Christ and my prayer and speaking to him would offend somebody. If they want to talk to their God, have to it. And let's see who gets blessed the most. Verse 38. You know, political correctness ended with the words, let's roll. When we had to take over an aircraft that crashed into a field in Pennsylvania, political correctness went out the window. It's action, taking care of our people, obeying our Heavenly Father. Verse 38, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. That's the locust army of Satan himself. They itch in, they weasel in, they take over, and they work into all the four hidden dynasties as God promised. Well, what are the four hidden dynasties? Education, financial, political, but most of all, religion. Check out God's word. Keep people straight and be blessed. You don't need the cursings. Verse 39, thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. The worms of usury. I mean, usury is going to come and inflation to the point there'll be somebody else reaping the rewards. And many might say, well, how could that be? Well, okay, a young person must borrow money to buy a home. Let's say that he spends $150,000 for a home. Every month he'll go down and he'll lay down about $800, maybe seven. Do you know how much actually he gets? About $50 on principal. And the users get $750. He's a slave. He's working for them. And there you go. He got 50 bucks worth of bricks and stones, and usury took all the rest. And he's right there stuck for maybe 30 years. Working for the who? Usury. Be careful. I realize the worms of usury will eat you up if you don't wise up and understand. Quite frankly, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. I realize that buying homes and, you know, young people should think about renting for a while until they get in a position where they can be pretty solid. But then you want to always remember about rent receipts. How much are they worth at the end of the year? Nothing. So think. Use your head. Always think way down the road and you'll do just fine. Verse 40, with God's blessings. Verse 40, thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine oil shall cast his fruit. It is true that, what is the word olive tree in the Hebrew tongue? It's Eliyah. That's the sacred name of our Heavenly Father. And many Christians say, well, they don't anoint themselves anymore. I didn't know Christians had to anoint. Then they kind of show your ignorance a little bit, because what does the word Christ mean? Christos. It means the anointed one. The etymology of the Greek word even comes from rubbing as anointing with the oil of our people. So if you're a Christian, then certainly anointing is the number one duty. The anointing won't heal you, but it is your obedience to use it that causes God's love to pour out upon you as he hears you, because you're doing it his way, by his letter. I'm afraid that we've come to that point. You know, I would say, I'm not judging anyone, but how many of your so-called faith healers have you seen anoint the people rather than just blow on them or something, or shove them? God didn't say blow on them or shove them. He said anoint them with Eliyah, which is to say the oil of our people. Where has intelligence gone? Well, that's a good question. Again, I'm not judging anyone. Verse 41. I teach truth. If the facts hurt, hey, maybe it'll help you some. 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Captivity of what? What's that? Deception. Deceived into the ways of the world rather than in our Father's word. Verse 42. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. Satan has a nice way of his children of taking over everything if you let them. If you do it God's way and have his blessings, you don't have to worry about it. 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. You never want to put a stranger over you in politics or anything else, or you're going to come down very low. It is written. It is a fact. Like it or lump it, that's the way it is. Verse 44. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Not a good place to be. You know, if you're the head, you can kind of breathe fresh air every once in a while and see what's down the road. But what mostly does the tail catch? That's not where you want to go, friend. You want to stay in charge. You do not want to let someone that has strange ideas of socialism, communism, or anything else take over your nation, or you will reap the wind. And God will not be happy. God will not bless. Why? Because you've lost your spiritual reputation as children of God if you allow somebody else to be your head that is not of God. 45. Moreover, you know, you have types, and we're leading up to, and before we finish, it'll be the false Christ. And you sure don't want him at your head. But you have types leading up to that where God's trying to knock on the door and get your attention to say, you want trouble? You want inflation? You want depression? Then bring it on. You did it. You did it to yourselves. That's why he wants you to wake up and smell the roses before it's too late. You don't want to be the tail. You want to be the head. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because, listen carefully, he's going to tell you why. What's the reason? What's the cause? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. You left the word of God and you went off chasing fairy tales and traditions of men that make void the word of God. It won't fly, friend. I mean, God is fair. It's your choice. You can choose the blessings and how wonderful it is to have God bless your life, where everything you touch is wonderful, beautiful. Or you can be cursed, where everything slips away from you. You never can get ahead. Why? Because you're not doing it God's way. Usury is just sapping you right to where you can never have anything. Use your head. Do it God's way. When God removes, if you, he's giving you the reason, because, he said in that verse, you either listen to the Father or he withdraws his blessings, and boy, do you have a hard road after that. I mean, he will never leave you nor forsake you as long as you'll stick with him. But the day you leave his teachings, his instructions, he removes his blessings from you, and you're bumping your head against a brick wall until you come to your senses. 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. What's going to be a sign? The curses.
Well, how could I tell?
Look around you. I mean, you know, smell the coffee. It's out there. You can see the cursings all around us. It started big time the day we borrowed money from another nation. During World War II, we had lend-lease. We loaned money to every nation just about in the world. How could we do that? Because God blesses America when you follow God. But the minute you begin to drive God out of the schools of this nation where children can't even pray, that children start shooting each other, when you drive God out of the courts, well, then guess what? God's blessings depart the nation, and you're on your own. Thank God it's an individual thing, that as long as you're still a good Christian and you study God's word, you do it by the letter he sent you. Well, why did God send us the letter? Because he loves you. He wants you to do it his way so he can bless you. He owns the whole world. He created it. He wants his children to have their part. That's why blessings are such a beautiful thing. And cursings is that sign that is always with you. When you don't do it God's way, get set. They're there. A wise person can pretty soon wake up when their head gets so sore that they get tired of the thumping. And repent and say, Father, help me.
He loves you. He may not love what you do all the time, but He does love you. And His help and blessings will drive those signs and wonders away from you, whereby you have God's blessings and His grace. You know, many people can talk a fine language, but until you do it God's way. This is why in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, God said to you, "Hey, remind me of the promises I made to you so that we can talk about it. And then I can justify you," meaning I can make it real good for you. But well, how do I know what God promised? You've got to read His Word. You've got to study His Word. You've got to show yourself approved. Claim those promises. They're yours when you're in His blessings rather than the cursings. The signs are there. The wonders are there. Look at them. Turn your television on tonight and listen to the news. Look at the cursings. Look at the wonders. Then say your prayers and receive your blessings. Verse 47. "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." You know, it is so much better to have a joyful life. And when God blesses you and touches you, you can rejoice and have plenty. We're in a land of plenty. You know, it is amazing to me that even we have, here we're paying $800,000 a year, $800 billion a year for oil from foreign shores. Money we don't have. People having to press up at the pump. When underneath our very soil and on the North Slope in Alaska and offshore, we have enough, California has enough oil off Santa Barbara to pay California out of the debt. But guess what? Brilliant ones won't drill. We'd rather spend ourselves into bankruptcy. You know, pretty soon you begin to think, is this a plan? Is this a plan that we're going bankrupt when we're blessed of God? And we don't even use what we have. Some highfalutin, high-tech guy says, "Get you a windmill." Old cowboy like me's had windmills all my life. The wind stops blowing sometime and you can't depend on them. Be joyful and serve the Lord. Verse 48, "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee." If you allow, God was not the one really doing it. You allow other people to do it. Your poor great-grandchildren going into debt that they'll have a difficult time ever paying out of. 49. "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far and from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand." This is the false Messiah. Okay. This is one worldism. It'll be a language you don't understand because you won't be allowed to even mention Christ's name. Verse 50, "A nation of furious countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young." They don't care. Beloved, do you understand what he's talking about here? Do you know? And do you understand that he's talking about the book of Daniel? In chapter 8, verse 23. And so it is. It's coming to pass. Talking about the false Messiah. Listen to it. You won't have it on the screen, but you can go to Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, or listen to me. "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of furious countenance," there he is, "and understanding dark sentences shall stand up," satanic, "and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." Why? Because he's the false prophet drawing power from Satan himself, because it is Satan. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Prosper a chicken in every pot, forgive all debts, love me, and you got it made. That's what the false Christ will say. 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself, claim to be God, in his heart, and by peace. This is why most people will be deceived, not by war, but by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the princes, but he shall be broken without hands. In other words, he'll even stand up against the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes at the sixth trump. Christ doesn't return until the seventh. A child can count to seven. Okay. The book of Revelation makes it very clear, giving you the chronological order of events, so you're not deceived. But that furious countenance is coming. Do you know what his message is? I've come to rapture you away. I want you to get in my wagon and bring all your kinfolks up here before me that don't believe I'm the Messiah, and let's convert them. This is why it's written in Mark 13 that God's elect will be delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. They're not to premeditate what they will say beforehand, but speak what the Holy Spirit gives them in that hour of temptation. We do not find Satan, that prince of furious countenance, to be tempting. We rather find him to be an abomination, bringing forth the curses of Almighty God upon a people. Don't be deceived, my friend. We live in perilous times. This is not a time to not observe the signs, the proverbs, and the wonders of what's happening before you when God has made it so clear, again, a child can understand. Returning then to chapter 28, verse 51, and it reads, "And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind," that's cattle, "of flocks of thy sheep, until he hath destroyed thee." He wants everything you've got, including your soul. I don't know, what did you take for your soul? 52. "And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates." That's a gate is where judgment took place. It's your courts. He's taken them over. "Until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee." This is when you thought you had religious protection, salvation, here comes this voice claiming to be Messiah, wanting to save you, and you know from reading God's word, he's a fake. He's false. He's lying. I don't know. Are you wise enough that you can recognize a lie when you hear it? Well, how could I know? By checking them out in God's word. God has forewarned you of, you know, Jesus would say in Mark 13, "I have foretold you all things." He didn't leave anything out. The question is, have you read it? Have you read it with understanding? You know, that's what makes it simple. And that's why you want to always study God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you know what God says, not some man. Next verse, please. Verse 53. "And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body." This gets a little rough, but it's, hang on, I'll explain it spiritually. "The flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege, and in the straitness thereof thine enemy shall distress thee." In other words, things are going to get so bad that it's using fleshly, which that's not we're concerned, not what we're concerned with right now, but it's spiritual cannibalism. People will sell their own children to this one. Well, I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, you've never read Mark 13? Mother will deliver daughter up to death and the father the son? Do you know who death is? It's the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Christ came to this earth, died on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. I don't know. Have you ever read it? It's there. It's there for the reading. That mothers and fathers, you know, no mother is going to deliver her daughter up to death, but they will deliver, with Satan being death and she thinks it's Messiah, she'll go to him and say, "You don't understand Jesus. It's not Jesus, it's anti-Jesus, Antichrist. Not Christ, Antichrist. Be good to my daughter. She's a loving child. But she thinks you're Satan. So save her. Have mercy on her." The mother, trying, because she's ignorant and believes this is Messiah, turns her own child, spiritual cannibalism, into Satan himself. Many people have a destiny and a purpose. You find it in that Mark chapter 13. If you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, do you? Verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you, this means tender-hearted, okay, or effeminate, even if you would, and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Why? Why would he do that? Because he thinks it's Jesus. You know, many people will do anything to convert their family to follow who they think is Jesus. There's just one problem. Antichrist's main doctrine is, "I've come to fly you away." The word rapture is not even in the Bible. And yet some people hinge on it. If it's not in the Bible, what are they hinging on? When Christ himself, you make a note, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 through 25. God saying, "I am against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. When my outreached arms are there to take them." Beware of false messages. We're living in perilous times, my friend. We're in the generation of the fig tree. Love your father. You know, he is so fair. Well, how could you say he's fair when he lets that happen? He warns you. Either take part in the blessings or you're going to get the cursings. Regardless of what happens to the nation and other people, as long as you stay in the blessings, you're in good shape. You're one of God's elect, and God can sure use you. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The epistles of John, three letters written by the apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with "my little children" or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, church, or organization. We don't judge people. You don't have to. Our Father's the judge. He sent us the letter. You teach it and let the chips fall wherever they may. Never, never apologize for the Word of God, but teach it fact by fact. And God will love you for it. But don't judge people. It's all right for you to discern who you should fellowship with, but don't judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. You got a prayer request, you don't need the number, you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's a cardio knower. He knows your heart. He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but he loves you. You know, what is it that he really wants from you? Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He wants your love, not your burnt offerings. He wants your love. That's why he created you, as it is written in Revelation chapter 4, the last verse, for his pleasure. How long has it been since you told him you loved him and pleasured him? That's what pleases him. Let him know today that you love him. Won't you do that, Father, around the globe? We come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. We got Selma from Ohio. In Ezekiel, the chapters relating to the future millennium were well detailed. I'm confused. Chapter 45, verses 18 through 25 gives us direction to keep the feast by using bull's blood to cleanse the temple. It is replaced by the blood of Christ, which is to say love. In other words, God, as it is written in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, I just quoted it. Don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. Naturally, so what replaces it? You know, this is why Christ doesn't change one jot of the law, but some of the statutes, which is to say rituals, have changed. In Hebrews chapter 10, Christ became the sacrifice for one and all times. So it is illegal. It is an abomination to feel that sacrificing an animal is necessary after Christ sacrificed himself. So it's love that is spared and given there, okay, even to this day. William from Wisconsin. Pastor Murray, I have a niece and her two daughters are not followers of the Lord. Their usage of words are somewhat undesirable. My question is, how have you any suggestions on how I can help them turn their life to our Heavenly Father? Just live the example, okay? You live it whereby you have the blessings. And people notice the blessings. And they notice that you have the answers. They're drawn to that. They're drawn to the Word of God. They're drawn to the blessings of God. And they see it in you. And therefore, when they come to you and ask a question, plant that seed. And then let God cause the seed to grow. Don't you get a sledgehammer and start trying to drive it home. Be patient. Let God do his work, and you'll be doing just fine, okay? God's real. He doesn't need too much help. And when you just give him a little chance to go on, okay? Connolly from Oregon. Why did our Father in heaven make his letter too difficult for a layperson to read? You know, this, as a student of the Word for many, many years, and I know some people get upset when I say a child could understand it. And this is the reason why. If God made it very easy to understand, but man's traditions try to make it void. In other words, if you erase from your mind everything you've ever been taught outside of the Bible and just pick up God's Word and let it speak for itself, it simplifies it. I know a lot of times people think that I'm come down pretty hard on people. I don't. I come down hard on preachers that won't preach the truth. You know, a lot of preachers will say, well, if I just teach the Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it's boring. But you know, that person should never be a servant of God if they think God's Word is boring. I don't find God's Word boring at all. It's vivacious. It's exciting. It's true. So, and there is an occasion that that some will think that I come down on a person. I don't like wimps. Okay. And when I get a question where, you know, I'm an old combat Marine. Okay. I appreciate men, and I appreciate women of God and children of God. I don't particularly care for wimps. And if you love them, then you're going to help them change. And as an old combat Marine, I'm going to come down on their case a little bit, but it's for their own good, and it's because I do love them. So don't judge me by thinking I'm trying to lord it over someone with my knowledge or something, because we are all, I don't care how many years you've taught or studied God's Word, you're still just a student. Because God's Word is pregnant. It continues to grow as it is fulfilled, and we must all learn together. Okay? Just relax and let God's Word speak for itself, and you will see how it simplifies. You know, God's Word is like an old feed sack. I'm going to talk to country people a minute. When you get ready to open a feed sack, you know, if you get the thread going, the string going just right, it just, boy, it just opens that sack right up. God's Word's like that. If you'll get the garden straightened out at what happened back there and how the Bible was written about one man's family and how that Christ would come through that family, that old sack just opens right up. But if you don't know how it happened in the beginning, how are you going to understand the end? That's my point, okay? God's Word is simple, but you got to let it flow. Let her flow. Gwen from Iowa, thank you for your ministry. You're so welcome. We thank our Father for it. When the Antichrist is reigning, what is he preaching versus the two good churches? What are the two churches preaching? Well, they're one and the same. Okay, by that I mean it's the same message. And you can read it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, verse 9. It's those that claim to be of our brother Judah and do lie or are the synagogue of Satan. A lot of people don't know who they are. They're Kenites. Sons, that's a Hebrew word that simply means the sons of Cain. And you can trace them throughout the Bible. And if you're not careful, as long as you know, then you're not to bother them or anything of that nature. But you sure don't want to follow or worship what they worship, because they worship Satan. They're going to be preaching and teaching discipline during the millennium. Christ is teaching those that had no opportunity to learn in this earth age. And many might say, well, as many churches as we've got, and there's a church on every corner, there's no excuse for nobody not knowing what's taught there. Is God's Word taught there chapter by chapter and verse by verse? That's what makes a church. It's not what man says. It's what God says. They didn't have a prayer of a chance coming out the gate of recognizing Antichrist when he appears claiming to be Jesus, going to rapture you away. They're ready. So, they need to be taught the truth, and they will be taught the truth. Christ is the truth, and the truth is what makes us free. Willine from, where's Willine from? I can't see a town. Okay, let's see what she, I have an important question. Does God only let us die if it is His will? My mother is 78 years old. Her leg is amputated due to a diabetic condition and other problems. She lost in the, her skin just covers her bones. She asked to die. We tell her only if God is ready for you. Is this right? Of course it is. Our Father knows. And just be with her. Be strong. Comfort her. The main thing you need to do is let her know that you love her, but that God loves her also. And Harry and Lynn from Texas, we're wondering if you could explain what happens in the millennium. The way we understand, God will come back and reign for 1,000 years here on earth. If so, where will Christians be and what will happen to the others? Will they go back to what the earth was thousands of years ago? The earth doesn't change until the end of the millennium. Revelation chapter 21, the earth is rejuvenated, not new, rejuvenated in the Greek tongue. What are the Christians doing? Many of God's elect are going to be teaching with him. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. They reign with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead must be remain dead until the end. Not talking about dead bodies. It's talking about spiritual dead souls, meaning souls that didn't overcome because they listened to lies instead of truth. And they will, well, why do they have to stay like that till the end? Well, Satan's, God doesn't want anything that isn't tested. So he's going to release Satan at the end of the 1,000 years. A lot of them are going to worship him again. That's hard to believe, but I believe God's word. It says they will. A lot of them won't. So we want to drag as many out of Satan's clutches as we can. Christians always love their fellow brethren and work to bring salvation to them all the way. Okay. Mainly discipline will be taught in the millennium because in spiritual bodies, everybody pretty well knows the truth. Shane from Nebraska. I would like some help on understanding exactly how the Father speaks to us. How do you know when he's talking to you? Please explain what you feel when he speaks to you. Please give us some examples of when he has spoken to you. Well, I choose not to do that because it's personal. But God speaks to us through his word. That is God. I want you to make a note. I mentioned it earlier in the broadcast. Isaiah 43, verse 26. God's telling you. He wants to talk to you. He says, remind me of the promises I've made. Well, has God forgot them? Uh-uh. He hasn't forgotten. He wants to know if you know. He wants to know if you've studied the Word. Because if you studied the Word, you know the promises. He wants you to remind him so that you can talk them over. And then he can justify. Our Father speaks in many ways, and he doesn't, you know, you'll have some of these preachers that play one-upmanship. I talked to God today. He told me where to park my car. And let me tell you something. If you're not smart enough to know where to park your car, God's not going to help you. Okay, that's done. This is preacher's way of playing one-upmanship, making laypersons think they've got a much closer walk with God. It's well to pray. That's talking to God. But God speaking to us, that's a very personal thing. And you don't have to worry. If it ever happens to you, you'll know if he calls you to service. April from Georgia. Pastor Murray, how come some people say they can see good and bad spirits and are able to tell the future? Also, how many loved ones can we save in the millennium? It's according to how hard you work at it. Okay, it's according to that we leave in God's hands. You plant the seed and he takes care of the rest. How can people say that they can see bad spirits? Well, a true elect of God can look in someone's eyes. For the eyes mirror the soul, and you can see whether a person has a bad spirit or not. Do you know something? If someone has a bad spirit and you pull a vial of oil out of your pocket, and when that demon sees that oil of our people, he goes crazy. He'll try to run. He'll try to back away. He'll try to do a lot of things. But spiritual discernment is a powerful thing. But as far as telling the future, the only way you can tell the future is in teaching God's word what God says will happen down the road. Man doesn't know. Many people play con games like this. I mean, you even have telephone numbers. You can pay $5 a minute and they'll tell you a lot of things. What color hair you got after they've asked you and you get it out of you using psychology. And you'll be out $5 a minute and they'll be a lot richer and you will have nothing. Okay. Patricia, want to know where in the Bible where Jesus has many names, what part of the Bible and what chapter is it, El Shaddai? Well, you know, God is Yahweh, Adonai, and El Shaddai. And it's according to, usually in the King James Bible, where it's the word L-O-R-D, Lord, is spelled out, and it's all caps, that name in the Hebrew manuscripts is Yahweh. Now, this is why I want you to have a Strong's Concordance. Most places where just the word God is, it's El, E-L, El. In the Hebrew tongue, that's where El is God. Okay, it's a title, not his name. His name is Yahweh, okay, which is in the Hebrew tongue, Iyah, which is to say, I am that I am. That's God's name. So get your Strong's Concordance, and each time God's name is used, it'll tell you which one it is, Adonai, El Shaddai, or Yahweh. But it's still all our Father, okay? Shelby from Virginia, where can I find the scripture that refers to man not knowing the time or the hour? Thank you. Mark chapter 13, Jesus speaking, he's saying you need to learn the parable of the fig tree. He didn't say, maybe you are too. He said, learn it. And he meant it. Why? Because that parable lets you know the chronological order of events. Because that generation will not pass away until all scripture is fulfilled. And then following that, he says, no man, only our Heavenly Father knows the instant that the end comes. Okay. Gloria from Tennessee. Pastor Murray, Romans 8, 29 and 30. Can you please explain this scripture? Thank you. God has sometimes, let me back up one or two verses, 26, 27. You, as one of God's elects, the word is saint. That means set aside one. One God chose before the foundations of this world. It says, you don't even know what to pray for, so I will intercede in your life. Why? Because you were predestined. Now I'm explaining the verse you ask about. You were predestined from the beginning. Why? Because God justified you in the first earth age. Why? You fought Satan then. God doesn't give anything away for free. People earn it. That's why, as it's written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the foundations of this world. Many people will say, you mean I was with God from the beginning? Well, where do you think you came from? You think you hatched out of some rock out here? Naturally, you came from God. And when you died, you returned to Him. And many, as it is written, a third of God's children worshiped Satan, followed him when he fell. But God chose some elect that stood in there. They fought. They spiritually fought even in the first earth age. Therefore, God can use them. That's why they're called his elect. Joseph from West Virginia. Pastor Murray, how do we know for certain whether we would be out one of God's elect or not? So glad that God has led me to you and your program. Well, we're glad he has too, Joseph. You know, usually you can pretty well tell anybody that knows the Antichrist is coming first before the true Christ. You're pretty well one of God's elect, because as it is written in Romans chapter 11, God put the spirit of slumber on the others. In other words, the word in the Greek is stupor. Okay, they're totally awake, but they're oblivious to what's going on. Okay, you can't, if God put the spirit of slumber on them, there's nothing you can do about it. You just plant seeds, and if God lets it grow, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. We've got the millennium. What a beautiful time that is, okay? That's how you pretty well can tell. I can see the mark. I've never met one of God's elect that didn't have compassion for his brothers and sisters more than self. When somebody comes to me saying, I want you to pray for my family, I want you to help me reach them, I know you've got one of God's elect, because they are full of compassion, not asking for something for themselves, but for their loved ones. That's a good mark of God's elect. David from Pennsylvania. Pastor Murray, does God think it's a sin for Christians to Christian your babies and have godparents? No, of course not. We dedicate many children here on that day and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is dedicating them to the Lord Jesus Christ so that the Lord watches over them. Nothing wrong with that. And we do it here quite often. Every time we got a baby, we christened them. That's great. If the person requests it, of course. Pastor Murray, this is Marie. Is Cain Adam's real son? You will not find Cain in Adam's genealogy in Genesis chapter 5. Okay. And you will, why won't you find Abel? Well, he was dead. Okay. Genealogy is progeny. Okay. If you want to know who Cain's father was, you'll have to read Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 35, who planted the tares, that's the Kenites. That's the teachings of Jesus Christ. Or you can take a shortcut and go to St. John chapter 8, verse 44. And he tells you who the first murderer's father was. That's why he was a murderer. Where did it come from? Was Jesus really born on December the 25th? The conception took place on December the 25th. Be sure and catch the Christmas program. But that's fine. That's when the Holy Spirit began dwelling with us. I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me good now. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here.